sleep tonight. Got plenty of time. Everybody got their hand shook? You need to go one more time. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in midweek service this evening. Get me a water bottle. It's hot. Hey, everybody. Anybody enjoying the heat? Like 30 seconds early in the morning where you step outside and you're like, yeah, it's not too bad. And then after that, it's all downhill from there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's going to get better. It always does. And then as we're creatures that like to complain, we'll be whining about how cold it is in February. Amen. Amen. That's just how we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Gives the Lord plenty to work on us. And I believe that those that he places in Oklahoma must be the really tough ones, because he sure gives us a good working over all times of the year. Amen. And appreciate everybody knowing that apparently was a blowout when I came into the world. So I don't remember any of it. She always remembers this time at my birthday, and I'm thinking, there ain't nothing joyous about what in the world she's sharing at all. It's like, I don't remember which name in the Bible, but it meant sorrow. It was Jabez. It was Jabez, and his name meant sorrow. It's like every time his mama looked at him, she couldn't remember anything good about him at all. Amen. Hopefully, they've kept me around for fixing to be 37 years. And I'm still here, so apparently doing something right. I don't know. Who knows? Amen. We are appreciative. I am appreciative. And I have another year coming up. So it's birthday time, spanking on Sunday. I'll wear my running shoes, but don't have to worry. I won't run far. It's Sunday dinner. I'll just run to the front of the line, and that's it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to get into the Word this evening. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. You can stand with us when you find that portion of Scripture. Fairly familiar portion of Scripture, I trust. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. I want to read one more portion of Scripture, John chapter 1, verses 38 and 39. It says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I just want to share for just a short amount of time, I trust, tonight, on just a simple thought of come and see. We find here throughout these scriptures, Isaiah's talking, he's writing what's been given him, and God's actually talking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that God's thoughts are not always, or my thoughts are not always God's thoughts. Amen. He's trying to put his thoughts within me. He says, "On my ways..." Well, your ways are not my ways, saith God. Are you glad that his ways are not always your way? Have you ever been mad at God about his way? Have you ever sat to ponder of what shape the world would be in if his way was your way all the time. We'd be in some sad shape. And he makes this observation. God makes this observation. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, we've been studying in Sunday school the book of Revelation, and we've been studying a little bit about heaven, and we've been studying this last week about New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth and how heaven is going to come down to earth. And it's all this exciting thing, and it's a wonderful thing that one of these days the heavens, they're going to descend to this earth. They're still going to be higher, but it's not going to be this great gulf fixed in between. But God was making some observations. He said, while we're here, while we're in this process called life, and while it seems that as Christians, how many is a Christian tonight? Oh, all right, praise the Lord. I'm glad I was preaching to Christians. I'm fixing to have to just change everything altogether. I'm glad I'm preaching to Christians tonight. But as Christians, there are times in our lives that we have to acknowledge the fact that his ways are going to be different than our ways, and that his thoughts are going to be higher than our thoughts. And that as from his seat in heaven, he can see some things that we can't see here on earth. So I just want to preach for just a little bit on come and see. Now, years ago, and when I say years ago, this was, I don't remember how many years ago this was. We went on a family vacation, and we went on this big, long family vacation, and we wound up at a place called Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been there? Hey, there we go. We got a few hands in here. Okay. We wound up at this place called Niagara Falls. And as we came up the I believe it's Buffalo, New York, somewhere close there. I don't remember exactly where we stayed. But we went down and we began to view the falls. And of course, as United States citizens, we came from the American side. We observed everything that there was to observe from the American side. And it was an impressive observation as you begin to go, and they have all these trails, and begin to walk down through there and look at the observation decks, and you see the mighty Russian River that's coming down there, and you can see what's called the American Falls from the American side. And I'm just going to break it to you. They're not as impressive as the Canadian side, but they're still impressive as it is. And I remember walking down through there and seeing the swift flowing water, and there was all these signs that says if you get in the water here, there's no help for you until you're down there. And I remember these other signs that said no swimming. And I remember observing how fast that river was moving and thinking to myself, like, why would anybody even want to swim in that river? Tim, did you think about jumping in when you was down there? Okay. I was just wondering. But as we begin to study a little bit about Niagara Falls, the source of the falls is the Niagara River. And if you trace that back, you begin to trace it all the way back to Lake Erie. Lake Erie dumps out into the Niagara River, which comes down and dumps over the Niagara Falls, which goes on down and flows into Lake Ontario. And of course, if you believe in evolution, when the ice caps melted and a big old chunk of ice flew down through there billions and billions of years ago, it carved this canyon and this dropout. But if you believe in creation, you know that there was a flood, and when all the sediment was rushing off and the God was forming the mountains and the oceans, that there was a big mudslide and some rock was left, and that's what formed Niagara Falls. Now remember that we went down and we got on this boat. Said, this is a great idea. I don't know who thought of this, but somebody said, it's not impressive enough just to view the falls from land. Let's get in a boat and let's go all the way to the bottom of the falls. And honestly, it wasn't that scary of a boat ride. There are some boat rides there that we didn't take that I think would be a lot more scary, because they also have a boat ride that goes around the big whirlpool that's further on downstream. And they'll shoot you in a jet boat across this big old whirlpool down there. That's also where a guy tightroped across that thing a long time ago and set a world record. But we got in this boat, and it was called the Maid of the Mist. And as we got in this boat and we begin to float down, and then they begin to tell you that, you know, we're getting close to the falls. And they said, when we get down there, you won't be able to hear anything. And of course, everybody's on the boat and everybody's smiling. They're taking pictures, and nobody even really understands what in the world they're trying to tell you. But as you get closer to the falls, you begin to hear the thunder of the water. And they give you all these little rain slickers, and everybody puts them on, and they all look the same at that point. And you put your hood up, because when they get down to the bottom of them falls, there's literally so much. It's like it's raining on you, just the spray coming off of those falls. And I remember as we floated down through there, and we tried to take as much pictures as we could, and we hollered at each other, you know, trying to hear each other. And it was just a wonderful, fascinating, exhilarating experience to behold the power of the falls. And to behold all that water coming through there. And you begin to study about it. It has the highest discharge rate of any waterfall in the United States of America and Canada. There's only one falls that tops it, and that's Victoria Falls, and that's way over in Africa, and I ain't been there yet. But we beheld this, and we came back on this boat, and we had a good time, and then I don't know who it was probably Mom, decided that it was great from the American side. So let's go see it from the Canadian side. Now, this was far enough back there that you could still travel back and forth across Mexico and Canadian borders with a driver's license, an ID. You didn't have to have a passport to go back and forth. And so we signed up for this little tour, and we got in this little bus, and we had this guy thought he was a comedian. He thought he was funny. I don't know if anybody else thought he was funny. There's this little old man that drove this tour bus, and he took us to the Canadian side, and we began to drive around over there, and he dumped us off down there, and he basically said, here's a list of places to go see and be back here in set amount of time. Well, on the Canadian side, they got this tower on the Canadian side. It's called the Skylon Tower. I didn't know what it was called then. I had to look it up. All I remember is the tower. And I remember we came to that thing, and it has this gigantic base, and there's restaurants and a mall, and I don't remember what all underneath that thing, and there was these elevators. And you get in these elevators, and they take you up the tower. But they don't go inside the elevator. They go on the outside of the building. And when you clear the ground level, it's just solid glass all the way around the outside of that elevator. And Lindsay, she didn't want to make the trip up. And so if memory serves me correct, I think Mom stayed with Lindsay, and me and Dad went up in the elevator. Now, if I'm going to be real honest, I wasn't too keen about going up in the elevator either. But there was something about wanting to get to the top. Now, I remember as we got in that elevator, and there were several other people in that elevator, and we began to come up out of the base of that building, and I remember how many stories it was before you cleared the building, and then it cleared, and all there was just glass, and you're watching the ground just drop away. That tower's 764 feet tall. That's really tall. Now, I remember we got all the way up to the top of that thing, and we stepped out of there. And the whole top of that tower is a big round tower, and it's nothing but glass windows all the way around. And when we got up to the top of that tower, we looked out, and we could see the falls. But we could also see the river. And if you looked far enough up the horizon, you could almost see the lake. And what you could see from the top of that tower, you were so far removed from the power of it, but yet you got to see the source of the power from the top of that elevator. And I remember as everybody was up there and they were observing, they were taking all these pictures. You could see where it started, you could see where it happened, and you could see what was beyond it. I want to preach for just a little bit this evening on come and see. You see, God gives us an invitation to begin to rise to higher places, to see some things differently than we're seeing them now. Here just a few weeks ago, I went to Iowa. This year's been a little bit different for our family. We have traveled a lot this year. And Sister Sarah went to New Mexico, and I went to Iowa. And I went up to visit Brother James and be at his camp meeting, and I stayed in the hotel there. And we were coming back from morning service, and we were coming into the hotel, and I was staying on the third floor. Mom and Dad was staying on the second floor, and I was sitting there, and I was texting. I don't remember who I was texting, but I was walking and texting, you know, kind of how I do sometimes. And I walk over there, and I hit the button, and the doors open, and I walk into the elevator. I'm sitting there texting, and standing there for a little bit, still texting, playing with my phone, whatever. And then the doors open again, and Mom and Dad step into the elevator. And I'm like, that's weird. And all of a sudden I realized the elevator never went up. And they're sitting there just grinning at me, you know, like, you know, what are you still doing in the elevator? And I look over, and there was no button that was pushed in order to go up. And as I looked at that, and they looked at me, and I grinned, and you know what? I felt like a goober sitting there in that elevator, playing on my phone, waiting for the elevator to go up. But I had failed to push the button. Can I just share just a little bit about something that was shared with me just a few weeks ago that I hope will encourage you tonight? You see, God desires to take us to higher places. God desires to raise our thoughts. God desires to elevate our horizons. But sometimes we spend a lot of time sitting on the ground floor of the elevator. That day as we begin to go up in that elevator at Niagara Falls, there was a lot of people that chose to stay at the bottom because of their fear of heights. Anybody afraid of heights? I'm afraid of heights. I don't like heights. Hey, I try to crawl up on top of them barns and some of them houses, and I got to be hanging on to something. I'll get up there, but I don't just take off and walk. I was watching the Framers the other day, Estuardo. I come up and I got on the second floor, climbed the ladder to the second floor. It's all decked, and he's across the house framing rafters. And so here he comes, just walking across the top of ceiling joists. They're every 16 inches. They're two bays, and whatever they are. And he's just walking across them, up and down and across there. He's just strolling across them like I walk on flat ground. You know what the thing is he's not afraid of where he's at. He's probably fell a few times, but he's not afraid to be up there. You see, God wants to elevate our experience. God wants to take us to higher places. God wants you to be able to get to a position where we're not just beholding his power, but we have discovered the source of the power. You see, many times we come to church and we get around and we get emotional and we feel the presence of God, we feel the Spirit of God, and it doesn't bother us to get emotional. It doesn't bother us to get stirred up. Has anybody ever complained about being in a service where the hair raised on the back of your neck and the goosebumps ran up and down your nose? Nobody ever complains about that. It's wonderful to get down and behold the raw power of God. But you see, God wants to take us to places in which we not only understand the power, but we begin to see the source and begin to understand it's not just about the effects of what God could do, but it's about who God really is. And when we begin to rise to places of understanding who God really is, we begin to elevate our experience. But many times in our Christian walk, we pull a Brother Jason, and we have a great experience with God, and we step into that elevator, so to speak, and guess what we forget to do? We forget to push the button. Now, if I would have sat there all day in that elevator, some people would have really begun to get worried about Brother Jason. Every time the doors open, there's Brother Jason sitting there in the elevator, you know. They'd be saying, why are you hanging out in the elevator? I'm like, I love the tunes. Now, there wasn't no tunes in that elevator. It wasn't expensive enough. But many times in our Christian walk, Christ is coming to us, and he's beckoning us, and he's saying, come and see. And we're saying, God, the problem's too big. God, it's too hard. God, I can't commit that. God, I can't surrender that. God, I can't do this. God, I can't do that. God, I'm afraid. God, we come with all this, and this whole time we're making excuses to God, and we're staying on the ground level. And what Christ is saying to us is he's saying, come and see. He said, it's not just enough to get on the boat, but you got to begin to put in the time for the ride. It's not just enough to stay at the ground level. You got to begin to rise to higher places. I could tell you this, that day that I stepped in that elevator and I began to make that trek to the top of that tower, I was not disappointed with what I began to see when I got to the top. There was no amount of fear that was bigger than the exhilaration of what I began to see when I got to the top. Sometimes I think we're afraid of what it's going to cost us to go to the top. But can I tell you this? Rise above your fear. Rise above the things that would hold you back, and begin to realize that when you get to where he's beckoning you to, that there's going to be an experience waiting there that is going to outweigh every doubt, outweigh every fear. Begin to be bigger than anything that was holding you back. He says, come and see. Habakkuk 3:19 says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Then like this. This is the last verse. If you haven't read Habakkuk chapter 3, go read it. It's a prayer. But he made it into a song. He says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Oh, I like that. Stringed instrument. You know, ooh, that's the bass guitar. You know the bass guitar is the lead instrument, didn't you? Until we got that organ. I'm going to have to cast the devil out of that organ. It gets on too many bass notes, and we're going to have to get rid of that. No, Habakkuk said this. He said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. What are hinds? Mountain goats. When Titus and them went out to New Mexico, they saw some bighorn sheep out there. Now, they saw them close to the road, but you know where they like to stay? Up in the mountains. They like to tread in places that no one else can tread. You ever seen a picture of the mountain goats sleeping on, like, looks like 2 inches of rock sticking out the side of a cliff face? And you said, how in the world can a beast like that be at rest in a position like that? Can I tell you this? That when you push the button and you begin to go up, that God instills confidence in him the higher you go. You see, the reason he wants you to progress past the ground floor isn't so you can get the big head, not so that you can be greater, not so you can be more importanter. No, it's none of that. The reason, yeah, I know, I did that on purpose just to get the look back there and on the left-hand side. The reason that God takes you higher is to instill confidence in you and to make you comfortable operating at higher heights. You see, confidence can only come from knowing that you can walk there. You see, those hinds, they didn't learn it overnight, and they didn't start up high, but they were born to be there. Their whole existence is to be there. And from the time that they were born, those hinds had a desire to be up there. You see, God created us with a desire to be up there. But sin began to produce fear, which became a weight which hinders us and holds us down here. But the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of love and power and a sound mind. You see, what holds us at the ground level is nothing that God desires for you to have. What He desires for you to do is to push the button and come and see what He has in store for you. If you can't seem to make it past whatever battle that you're going through right now, if you can't ever seem to make it past whatever struggles in front of you, if you can't seem to overcome the fear that grips your heart, can I tell you this? Have faith in Him. Go ahead and just push the button. You say, well, Brother Jason, how do I push the button? Can I tell you this? You already know. You already know. What's God been dealing with you about? What's He been convicting you about? He's saying, push the button. He said, go ahead and rise to higher heights. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19 says this. I may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, depth and height. And we discussed this a little bit in Sunday school, where I went back and was studying it a little bit more. We are three-dimensional individuals. We understand breadth or width. That's what that word means. Width, how wide something is. We understand how tall it is. We understand how long it is. But we perceive depth. Now, there's a lot of us in here that wear glasses. What happens when you take those things off? Some of us are probably more visually impaired than others. I'm so visually impaired that this is where I'd have to read my notes if I took my contacts out. And in fact, I'm so visually impaired that when I take my contacts out and I put my glasses on, it takes my mind a little bit to compensate for the difference in depth perception from contacts to glasses. Why I don't like wearing glasses. I just don't like them at all. And sometimes I'll take my contacts out and I throw my glasses on and my perception is just off. You should try to drive like that. No, you shouldn't. But what was Paul saying here? He says, so they may be able to comprehend with just a few saints. Just the elect, just the chosen few, just the 12 apostles, just the Jews, or just the Jews. No, he says with all saints. What does that tell me? God wants all of us to go to the top. There's nobody that He desires to stay at ground level. He wants all of us to go to the top. You can't understand the breadth, length, depth, and height of God unless you get to the top. Can I tell you that again? You're not going to be able to understand or fully know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and you be filled with all the fullness of God unless you get to the top. You ever say, God, I don't understand. God, I don't know. God, I can't seem to figure this out. When's the last time you looked and observed which level you're setting on? Because I can tell you this, that when you begin to rise to the top, you begin to understand the ways of God. You begin to understand the workings of God. Excuse me. And you begin to understand that what I know, what I perceive, what I understand, there's an element to God that only I can comprehend, but not necessarily understand. Paul put it this way. He said, we see through a glass darkly. Can I tell you this? You're going to get all the way to the top. Sister Lindsay or whoever's playing tonight can come back to the piano. You can get all the way to the top. And there's still going to be some elements of God that you can see, but you can't quite comprehend. But can I tell you this? When you get to the top and you can begin to see the source And then you begin to see the power. And then you begin to see the effects of the power. God is doing a work within your heart that you can begin to understand the things of God. He's wanting to take you past ground level. He's wanting to take and begin to instill within you the confidence that He desires His church to have. He wants to begin to equip you to fight. He wants to begin to equip you to witness. He wants to begin to equip you to be more than a conqueror. He desires to take you higher so that you can begin to see greater things that God desires to do. But I can tell you this tonight, if you can't ever commit to pushing the button, you're never going to see the fullness of God that He desires to display in your life. Amen. Stand to your feet this evening. He gives an open invitation. He said, what seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, that's a master. Where are you going? What'd he say? Come and see. There's nothing about God's kingdom that He desires to hold from His children. The only thing that holds us back from experiencing His kingdom to the fullness that He desires is simply us. We've got to be willing to commit to pushing the button. Now, in my immediate family, we got some children that are not super confident in riding the elevator. And Sister Sarah, for a long time, she wasn't super thrilled about elevators. Addison's not real thrilled about elevators. And I'm kind of I've kind of got over my fear of elevators. I like to kind of bounce up and down in them, you know. When you're going up and down and they creak and they kind of, you know. He said, well, how come you do that, brother? Because I have full confidence in the mechanisms of one of those elevators. Can I tell you one more quick story? Then I'll be done. The reason I have full confidence in one of those elevators, because years ago when I was working for Marble Elegance, we did all the showers in the towers at Oral Roberts University. And they have those funky looking big tower things over there that are their dorms. They're all like eight-sided or six-sided. It's weird shaped buildings down there. And there was two of those, and there was 64 showers per tower that we did. And I think there was eight floors, if I remember right, in there. And they were working on the elevators when we were staging all of that marble and shower pan material. And I remember when we came there, we delivered, I don't know, 30 some pans and all the walls and everything. It was two full trucks that were like almost dragging the ground of so much weight. And we begin to come in there, and the elevator guy was sitting there working on them, and he said, where are these going? And we said, all the way to the top. We started staging to the top and worked our way all the way to the bottom. We packed that elevator full of those shower pans and those walls. The guy that was working on them, me, and I can't remember who was with me. Maybe Michael, I don't remember who was with me. And I mean, it was full. And I looked at the elevator guy and I said, is this going to take us to the top? And he just looked at me and he said, these are designed to hold way more weight than this. He said, you see that weight capacity? He said, that's just a warning. He said, but I fully believe this will carry us to the top. And you know what it did for that time and the next time, and then we came back later and they had it totally shut down and we had to take the stairs that time, and that was a whole another bad day. But I have confidence. Why do I have confidence? Because I talked to somebody that has spent his life working on those elevators, and he was more than confident to step in one with me. The reason Jesus can take you to the top is because He's fully confident in the process to get you there. There's nothing that catches Him by surprise. There's nothing that scares Him. There's no battle too big. There's no devil too tough. He understands what it takes and what it takes to push that button. And all He asks of us is, trust me, because I've already been here, I've already done it, and I can tell you that the trip to the top is going to be worth it. Can I encourage you tonight? If you're struggling with pushing the button, just go ahead and push it and go ahead and take the trip to the top, because I can tell you this, the ride will be worth it. Amen. Let's gather in these altars this evening. Let's have us a time of prayer. He wants to show us great things. He wants to instill within us that love of Christ which passes all knowledge, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God.